This evening we will start discussing the second section of the first chapter. The section is going from text 14 till 23, and in this section the signs of victory for the Pandavas are discussed, mentioned here. We will begin with text 14. Tatasveter ayer yukte mati syadanestito madava panavasheva divya sanka padamatu. On the other side, both Lord Krishna and Arjuna stationed on a great chariot drawn by white horses sounded their transcendental consoles. Purport. In contrast with the consoles blown by Bhishmadev, the consoles in the hands of Krishna and Arjuna are described as transcendental. The sounding of the transcendental consoles indicated that there was no hope of victory for the other side, because Krishna was on the side of the Pandavas. Jayastu Panduputranam Yesam Pakse Janardana. Victory is always with persons like the sons of Pandu, because Lord Krishna is associated with them. And whenever and wherever the Lord is present, the goddess of fortune is also there, because the goddess of fortune never lives alone without her husband. Therefore, victory and fortune were awaiting Arjuna, as indicated by the transcendental sound produced by the consul of Vishnu, O Lord Krishna. Besides that, the chariot on which both the friends were seated had been donated by Agni, the fire god, to Arjuna, and this indicated that this chariot was capable of conquering all sides, wherever it was drawn over the three worlds. I will now first read the commentary of this verse by Bhujan Prabhu and then Purnachandra Maharaj. So the great excitement was beginning to build. Duryodhana pointed to his great generals the strength on the other side to encourage them to battle strongly. And then Bhishma blew his conchal, and the Kaurava side responded with conchals, bugles, horns and drums. The blood of the Kshatriyas began to boil. On the other side, Krishna and Arjuna blew their transcendental conchals, which were of a different quality than the conchals on the Kaurava side. Now Arjuna is especially empowered. There are some reasons given here that how he is different. That very conchal that he blew and the quiver of arrows that he was carrying was given by Indra. His white horses were given by Chitrarad, the powerful Gandharva, and Krishna himself was driving the chariot of Arjuna, and the chariot was given by Agni. So his position was very special, and when those conchals blew, text 15 tells what happened. He will not hear We will hear text 15 after hearing the commentary of Purna Chandra Maharaj. In this verse, for the first time, the name of Krishna is mentioned. They respond as usually done. The elder of the battlefield blows the conch shell on one side, and then the other side responds. The other side responds. So Madhava also indicates victory, because Madhava is the husband of the goddess of fortune. So all fortune and victory will be present on the Pandava side. And we see that Arjuna is stationed on his chariot with white horses, and he is with his Gandiva bow and transcendental quiver. These all were given to him by Agni. This is mentioned in the Bhagavatam in the 58th chapter of the 10th canto, text 26. Gandiva, the bow, the horses, and the chariot, two inexhaustible quivers, and his armor, which was impenetrable, they were all given by Agni. This also indicates the victory of the Pandava army. And if you look, you will find many indications of victory. Other signs of victory: the flag with Hanuman, they were on Kurukshetra, Madhav or Krishna is on their side, the blowing of the consoles, Krishna blows the Pansajanya, the shell of the demon when Krishna was searching for the sons of the teacher Sandipani Muni. He went to Varuna's kingdom in the water. Devadatta was given by Agni. So these conscious are not ordinary. They shattered the hearts made the Kaurava army trembling in fear when they heard it. But the same thing did not happen from the Kaurava's side. There is some foreshadowing there as well. Now we see the blowing of these consoles on two sides. Bhishma Dev blew his console, and then see Pandavas, Arjuna, and Krishna responds, and their consoles have names, and these names are mentioned, that so we see in the previous passage, Duryodhana was trying to encourage all those on all these great fighters on his side to fight very strongly. And also Bhishma Dev, he tried to inspire. But Bhishma Dev's response was just blowing this console. That's, he was not there for the politics. He was a devotee of Krishna, and yes, he was fighting on the side of Duryodhana. That was not a very important point, at which side to fight. The point was, it's my duty. I'm a Kshatriya. I'm doing my duty. I will tolerate everything and go to it. And victory and defeat is in the hands, Lord. It is in the Lord's hands. So we see that's the position of a devotee. A devotee will do his duty, And whatever the result is, good or bad, it's up to Krishna. He goes so far as to see everything that's happened, good and bad, that it doesn't matter. Because these kshatriyas, they were twice born, they are transcendental knowledge. They knew the first principle of spiritual life is first to tolerate, because all this good and bad is going with the body. That and we think something is good or something is bad because we identify with the body. But the kshatriya knows I'm not the body. I can't kill anyone, but it's just I'm helping them to change their bodies. That they are changing their bodies, and they get a new body, and that's good. But Arjuna is a little bewildered. We will see further. He's attached to the bodies of all these personalities and the relation he has with these bodies, and like it's now, and that's problematic. Now in the next verse we will hear the effects of this blowing of conchals, because a few are mentioned, but there must have been thousands of conchals. But it said further, in Sanskrit it's a tumulto, and that's the same as the English words tumultuous. Very interesting. So it must be a very heavy sound that they have heard. But the effect of the heart of the other party of this conscience, that we will hear now in next verses. Text 15, I read the Sanskrit. Pamsa janyam rishikesho deva dattam dananjaya pandram dhamma ma sankam bhima karma frikodara. Lord Krishna blew his conchal called Pamsa janya. Arjuna blew his the deva datta, and Bhima, the voracious eater and performer of Herculean tasks, blew his terrific conchal called Pandra. Purport. Lord Krishna is referred to as Rishikesh in this verse because he is the owner of all senses. The living entities are part and parcel of him, and therefore the senses of the living entities are also part and parcel of his senses. The impersonalist cannot account for the senses of the living entity, and therefore they are always anxious to describe all living entities as senseless or impersonal. The Lord, situated in the hearts of all living entities, directs their senses. But he directs in terms of the surrender of the living entity, and in the case of a pure devotee, he directly controls the senses. Here on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, the Lord directly controls the transcendental senses of Arjuna, and thus his particular name of Rishikesh. The Lord has different names according to different activities. For example, his name is Madhusudan because he killed the demon of the name Madhu. His name is Govinda because he gives pleasure to the cows and to the senses. His name is Vasudeva because he appeared as the son of Vasudeva. His name is Vasudev because he appeared as the son of Vasudev. His name is Devaki Nandana because he accepted Devaki as his mother. His name is Yasodhanandana because he awarded his childhood pastimes to Yasoda at Vrindavan. His name is Parthasarathi because he worked as charioteer of his friend Arjuna. Similarly, his name is Rishikesh because he gave direction to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Arjuna is referred to as Dhananjaya in this verse because he helped his elder brother in fetching wealth when it was required by the king to make expenditures for different sacrifices. Similarly, Bhima is known as Frikodar because he could eat as voraciously as he could perform Herculean tasks, such as killing the demon Hidimba. So, the particular types of consciousness blown by the different personalities on the sides of the Pandavas, beginning with the lords, were all encouraging to the fighting soldiers. On the other side, there were no such credits, nor the presence of Lord Krishna, the Supreme Director, nor the gods of fortune, so they were predestined to lose the battle. And that was the message announced by the sounds of the consoles. Where did Krishna Pansajaya got from? This Pansajanya, Pansajanya was a demon killed by Krishna. When Krishna recovered the son of his teacher Sandipani Muni, he went to the bank of Prabhakshetra Lake and he dove in when the lake he dove in the lake and killed the demon. And that demon was Pansajanya, who took the shape of a consul. Then Pansajanya became Krishna's consul. Now, about all these names, this Purna Chandra Maharaj. So Arjuna is here also mentioned as Dhananjaya, because he was sent by Yudhisthira to the north to acquire treasures for the Raja Suryachakra. That was when they were living in Indraprastha. So that is before the battle, and Bhima was sent to the east to Bengal. He met one king, etc. And when the twins went west, and then the twins went west and south. So Arjuna came back with a lot of wealth. Actually, they all conquered a lot of wealth to help Yudhisthira Maharaj to perform the Jagya. That was one of the reasons why Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana became envious, because they gave them an insignificant portion of the kingdom. And then later, by the mercy of Indra and the Pandavas and the Pandavas piety, that then it was brought about so much opulence in Indraprastha, and Duryodhana became envious when they went to the Pandavas assembly hall and saw how beautiful it was. And of course, Draupadi. Draupadi's laughing at him didn't help when he fell into the water. So he's called Dhananjaya, the winner of wealth. This also indicates some victory, because he was victorious in conquering all the kings throughout the whole subcontinent. And Bharat was bigger at that time than it was now, including many countries. So. Yeah, this purple of Silopopa contains so many points. All these names of Krishna are there. His name Madhusudan because he killed the demon with the name Madhu. That it is further. Arjuna will use that name also. Sometimes he would say Madhusudan. He would use it as Madhusudan, you are the killer of Madhu. You have killed this demon, but you will not kill Ugrasena, your grandfather. You have killed demons. And later he will use it again and say, Madhusudan, I don't see it anymore. You are the killer of Madhu, the demon. So now kill the demon of the doubt in my heart. So this use of these names has a lot of, like Krishna is calling Arjuna son of Pritha. Pritha is Kunti, and Kunti, yeah, Krishna is in relationship with family from Kunti. So Krishna calls him son of Pritha, especially when he starts to chastise him, when he says, because he brings all these reasons of not fighting. I don't want to fight, he says. Because I'm afraid of contracting sin. And I will not be able to enjoy. And the Varnashram system will be lost. And there will be Varnashankara, the caste will mix. And degradation of womanhood. So I give so many reasons not to fight. But then Krishna starts to chastise him in the beginning of the second chapter. He's using very heavy words. So you are an Arya. An Arya is one who knows the values of life. And so you have lost that. And yeah. Give up this Hridaya Darbalyam, this weakness of heart, he says. You are Klaibyam, you are impotent, very heavy things to say to a Kshatriya. And Arjuna is not just a simple Kshatriya, he's a heavy guy that Krishna is addressing. But he calls him, but when he starts using these words, he says sometimes son of Pritha, because you are my family member, but you are not worthy. I'm here as your charity because you are my family. That therefore he says son of Pritha to show the relationship with Krishna. So these names are very important. His name is Vasudeva because he appears as the son of Vasudeva. Devaki Nandana, yeah. And that, his name is Partha Sarathi. He is the charioteer of Krishna, of Arjuna. From Partha means Ospita. That's why it's Partha Sarathi. Charioteer of Arjuna. So the third in this previous verse was the first time that Krishna was mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. What is he doing? He's a charioteer of Krishna, Partha Sarathi. If you have the first canto of the Bhagavatam there, the first time Krishna appears in the Bhagavatam, what is he doing? He's a charioteer of Arjuna, Because they are chasing after Ashvatthama. That's very interesting. That's the first time he appears, always Partha Sarathi. That this name have, all these names have deep significance. And then Dhananjaya, of course. That because Arjuna went to the north to collect his gold. Okay, because it was somewhere in the Himalayas, sages had on sacrifice, and everything they use in the sacrifice, they used only once. All the golden plates they throw away. Well, in that time there was so much opulence. But in the time of that was Satya Yuga, but now, or even Tetra Yuga. Well, this was Dvapara Yuga. Gold became more rare. So Arjuna went to the Himalayas and he just collected all these things. And he brought a lot of wealth for the Rajasuya sacrifice, because sacrifice is a sacrifice which is like an Ashvamedha sacrifice. It's a big sacrifice, but it's meant to point out who is the supreme. And they pointed out, all the Pandavas pointed out, is Krishna. This is, and Sisupal did not agree. Sisupal, since his birth, when he was a toddler, he was blaspheming Krishna. That was the only thing he was doing. And Krishna, when he started, so Sisupal said, I don't agree, and he started to blaspheme Krishna. And Krishna tolerated everything up to 100 times, because this was a big sacrifice, and Krishna did not want a battle, because then it would be spoiled, blood everywhere. And so he just performed his operation with his chakra, got his head off. That was with Dhananjaya. Frikodar. Bhima could eat very voraciously. Voraciously means when Queen Kunti was cooking. No. Then I think she was making 7 parts. That she put of what she was cooking, half was for Bhima, and the other half she divided in 6 or 7. That for the other one was. He was, but it's mentioned here how he was, has killed the demon Idimba. That's in the Mahabharata when they escaped from the house of flak which was burning. Then they had to get us, because as soon as in a short time they wanted to be sure to be far away from that place. So yeah, the Pandavas and Kunti. So Bhima took them in his arms, and they were sitting on his arms, and he was running as fast as he could, and he was running for like 24 hours, and but then he had to eat. But then after that. They were attacked by Rakshasa, this Hidimba. It's a whole story there. That, and then Bhima had to fight with him. That, this Rakshasa was so called unconquerable, but not for Bhima. That was his last time he had a fight. Also, he was a voracious eater. Because Duryodhana wanted to poison Bhima and invited him to the palace, and he gave him a big cake, but it was poisoned. So he ate the cake, but then he felt sleepy. Of course, that poison was starting to work, and he fell asleep from the poison. And they took him and they threw him in a big pond and over a river, and he went down. And then when he was on the anyway, it's a story with a lot of details, but finally he survived. He just digested the poison. This poison means what you cannot digest, but he digested it. Just it was in the Mahabharata. Very interesting. And then you have this blowing of the consoles. In these last two purports, there are a lot of signs of victory which are mentioned. Traditionally, in the Bhakti Shastra exam, they are asking for this signs of victory. Of course, the greatest sign of victory is Krishna was on their side. And where Krishna is the goddess of fortune. You have Arjuna's chariot made by Agni. And on the flag of that chariot, you have Hanuman. The whole story, we will hear that story. Hanuman. That how he came on the flag. And these are all signs, and the blowing of their conch shell, which is shattering the heart of all the Kurus. Shattering means they became, it caused fear in their heart. That was also another. Then of course another sign we heard already is Kurukshetra was a holy place. And pious influence. So this is highly important signs. So we will finish today with text 16:18. Ananta Vijayam Raj Kunti Putro Yudhishthira Nakula Sadevasya Surosa Manipushpaka Kasyasa Parameshvasa Shikandim Samaharata Pristat Yamna Vyatasya Satyakis Saparachita Drupado Drapadeyascha Sarvasa Prithivepate Saubrata Samahabahu Sankam Damu Prita. King Yudhishthir, the son of Kunti, blew his conch shell, the Ananta Vijay, and Akula and Sadev blew the Suros and Manipushpaka. That great archer, the king of Kasi, the great fighter Sikandi, the Stadyumna Virata, the unconquerable Satyaki Drupada, the sons of Draupadi and the others, O king, such as the mighty armed son of Subhadra, all blew their respective conchs. Purport. Sanjaya informed King Dhritarashtra very tactfully that his unwise policy of deceiving the sons of Pandu and endeavoring to enthrone his own sons on the seat of the kingdom was not very laudable. The signs already clearly indicate that the whole Kuru dynasty would be killed in that great battle. Beginning with the grandsire Bhishma, down to the grandsons like Abhimanyu and others, including kings from many states of the world, all present there, and all were doomed. The whole catastrophe was due to King Dhritarashtra because he encouraged the policy followed by his sons. Now, Bhujan Prabhu is saying there is a hint given here by Sanjay that he knew the future. Only those whose conch shells names are mentioned, these are the ones who survived the Battle of Kurukshetra. And Satyaki also survived, and also Bhishma, because he's unconquerable. That, you know, Bhishma got this benediction, because it's also stories in the Mahabharata. That when his father wanted to marry a fisher daughter, then the father said, "No, I cannot allow that, because if she marries you and she has sons, their sons will not become the king, because you have already a son, Bhishma Dev. He will be the king." But then Bhishma Dev said to his father, "I promise you, I will never marry. I will remain a celibate." And he made that vow for the rest of his life. It's quite. And then demigods were so pleased. They gave him the benediction. "You will be unconquerable. You will die only when you want to die." And you can see that it's in the Bhagavatam. There is a chapter in the first canto, which we will discuss soon. Well, maybe the end of next year. That this chapter is entitled "The Passing Away of Bhishma Dev." And there, it's after the Battle of Kurukshetra. And his body, Bhishma Dev, is full with arrows. There's no blood anymore in his veins. Still he remains alive with mystic power. And he passes away only when Krishna is just before him. But in that state, before he passes away, he gives instructions to Yudhishthira Maharaj about to properly govern the kingdom. So many questions are there, very interesting. How sound his mind is, because all his blood is practically gone. The blood that was contaminated by it is said, eating the grains cooked by Duryodhana and company. It's also an interesting point. Grains cooked by materialists is poison. It's dangerous, especially grains, because consciousness sets itself in grains. Now we listen to Purnachandra Maharaj. So there is some indication here. Certain persons get their conscience named and certain persons don't. So the one who have their conscience named actually lived and survived the battle. whereas the other ones, who were just mentioned, they also blew their conscience. They all died, except for one person, Satyaki, because he was unconquerable. That's also another story. Srila Prabhupada seems to echo this idea in his commentary. He writes, beginning with the grandsire Bhishma down to his grandsons, Abhimanyu and others, including kings from many states of the world, all were present there, and all were doomed. The whole catastrophe was due to King Dhritarashtra, because he encouraged the policy followed by his sons. So, Dhritarashtra, were all, and Kurus were all aggressors. Yeah, demoniac kings. But of course, today it's not much better. So we can, but we can say, we see here that, more than it said 504 million people died on the battlefield. It's immense. Must have been a big population already at that time. Because the center was the Bharat, Varsha was bigger than now, but the center was India. To what we know today as India. But if you see today, the population is much more dense there than in Western Europe and in America. Even today we can see that was the... So it's not... Yeah. So many... Such a big population that... So many died. But of course Krishna will say Agatasam Agatatunsha na nashoshati napan nakangshati. No. Yeah, say Prahyavadam Sabasasi. Yeah, nashoshati nakangshati. That's get the Sanskrit right. This verse 2:9. Bhagavan Apachan Ashosham Ambachosham Spam Prahyavadam Sabasasi Gadasana Gadasana Sa Nanu Shushanti Pamita. The Supreme Personality of God had said, while speaking learned words, you are mourning for what is not worthy of grief. Those who are wise lament neither for the living nor for the dead. Because we can say 504 million people died, about 6 billion, something like that. That's 6 billion. Yeah. 100 years from now, they will all have died. Maybe a few. All of them will have died. It's quite a massacre. This is only 504 million. So that's also going on today. Just nature waves. The body is temporary. Yes. Like Chaitanya Nitai, he left his body, and 3 hours later, plastic bag there outside. You are gone. Well, you were already gone, but that's just a body. That it's just a body, nothing to lament about. That. Anyway, that's a lesson we have to learn from Bhagavad Gita. That's what it is all about, to come to that realization, so that we stop identifying with these bodies. And the way the first lesson Krishna gives, this matras persist kantya shitushnat shukadukada ramapayi paina nityas tam stikshas vabhad. Just tolerate all this happiness and this stress that comes. Don't take it very serious. It's just with the body. It's not there. We have nothing to do with this world. Nothing. It's all our imagination.
And how about sense perception?
Sense perception. It arises from sense perceptions, this happiness and distress. Yes, in interaction between the senses and their objects. And Krishna says that's all done by material nature, not by us. We are only observing that, like we see a film. We see these things through our mind and our senses. And we think, yeah, that's me. That's a problem, but it's not us. But we are living in the body, but we are not the body. And if you can realize that, that's called liberation. Very important. This happiness and this stress comes in the mind. Just tolerate it. It's not so easy, but that's by hearing the transcendental knowledge. You come at a certain moment to the point of start realizing this, that we are not the body. And you become less disturbed. You don't take these things so serious. You start to identify yourself with the real soul. The eternal spirit soul, not with the covering. But it's very strong. Based on this body, people are inventing so many things. Just if you think, because this body is born in a tract of land which is called England. We think we are English and we belong to a nation. Nationhood is created, but it's a collective imagination. It's a collective, and people are ready to die for that. Can you imagine for that imagination? Yeah. Sometimes people tell us that, do you believe all that? But nobody questions that they believe in nationality. They think they have everyone has nationality, like everyone has a gender. And that's generally accepted. This collective illusion, it's so strong, so strong. And of course it's not that tomorrow we take the bus and we say we don't pay our ticket, I'm not this body. That will not work. We have to go along with this organization and this structure of society. That's another thing. But it's all invented. We should be aware of that. And therefore not take it so serious. All these wars are just based on this illusion. Such a deep illusion. Hare Krishna.